Thank you, choir, for that special. If you notice this morning, we started out with opening the eyes of my heart, Lord. And then choir just sang a new name written down in heaven. And our scriptures today is about the throne room in heaven. So good connection right there, right?
Yeah.
So today, next Sunday, we'll be on the throne of heaven. Today's part one, verses 1, 2, and 3. And so follow along with me with verse 1. We'll begin now. I'll read all 6 verses today, but just talk about verse 1, 2, and 3. Now, picture this. This is a scene in heaven. And this is what John saw. And as I read, you'll see he was in the spirit. Not bodily, but in the spirit, spiritually. So, I love Revelation. How many of you love Revelation, reading it? And you understand every bit of it. The symbolism in everything, right? No? Well, this is a good time to learn something about heaven. Because one of these days we're going to spend our eternity there, right? And we are practicing here on earth what we'll be doing in heaven. And John is giving us a little foresight and insight of that. And that's what's really exciting. Even though we don't understand it, we know that God's going to make everything good and holy. And we're going to be, it's just going to be wonderful. Okay, beginning with verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, who was that voice? What was that voice? I believe it's the voice of Christ. Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. There it is. John was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting was like a jasper stone, a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like a halo, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. Now, those were like smaller thrones. And the elders, and 24 elders, sitting clothed in white garments, golden crowns on their heads. And these probably were saints who were given their rewards and crowns from heaven, okay? Here on earth. Now, in verse 5. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds peals of thunder. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning, and these lamps for the spirits of God, before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass. Are you getting a picture of what heaven's going to look like? Like crystal. Your name's right there, Crystal. And in the center around the throne, 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And one of those I can picture is an eagle. Right? Yeah. A lion, an eagle. And all of those represents different things of the sovereignty of God. Interesting, very interesting insight that Revelation gives us. So, All right. When we look at the book of Revelation, and here we are in chapter 4, in the first vision, starting back, I would say, in chapter 1, which maybe I'll cover that some other time, but here today we're in chapter 4, we see the exalted Christ nurturing and protecting the church. The church, the saints, is in God's best interest. And that is what he was showing John. So John would relate and carry on to us and what we have today, his word, to see what heaven's going to be like. Now, these seven churches have characteristics that belong to various churches in every generation. I'm talking about from chapter 1 through chapter 3, these seven churches that are mentioned, and Christ is talking about them. And if you have ears, let you hear what the Spirit says in each one of these churches. Now, chapter 4 begins a new vision. Chapter 4, okay? Which constitutes the second major section of the Apocalypse. Now, Apocalypse, you know, that's that the end time of the destruction of this world, which will be coming in the future. So, the new stage occupies what I was saying in the new vision is in chapter 4 and in chapter 5, where the scene shifts from the church on earth to the church in heaven. Okay? We'll be having church in heaven, okay? It'll be a worship time. It'll be a celebration time. It will be just something that we can't even imagine. There'll be feasts and all of those things. But these chapters open the throne from the room of heaven to our eyes and our ears. That's what it does. Okay, so we are allowed to join John in observing the worship of the Lord God Almighty. And we are invited. It's a scene in heaven, and there's an invitation, as Jesus gave the invitations in the scriptures, in the gospel, to come to him. So this is an invitation for us to see in the future what's going to be taking place. And John got a first-hand view of what was going to be taking place. So, God is on his throne, and his endless, endless praise to him. So, we hear the call to acknowledge his power and his dominion. And then in chapter 5, his right to judge the earth and its inhabitants. And all the people in this world will, one of these days, stand before God and will be judged. And everyone will have to say, "You're right, Lord. You're absolutely right." So, when we look at the visions here, it relates to the things in heaven, most likely to the time between the removal and the rapture of the church or the saints, you and I, believers, Christians, and letting loose of the time of the great tribulation upon the apostate world. Now, which begins in chapter 6 through 19. Covers a long span, doesn't it? But that's talking about the tribulation from chapter 6 on. Now, which seems to be this time of the tribulation from chapter 6 through 19. All right. Let's jump right into verse 1 here, where it talks about the invitation from heaven. So we all like that. We like to get invitations, right? But you don't want to miss out on this one, the one from God to introduce us to heaven. Now, in verse 1, I read it a few minutes ago, but I want us to key in on the last verse, or last part of verse 1, which it says, "Come up here. Come up here. And I will show you what must take place after these things, okay? Now, these things hadn't happened, but God's going to fill John in what's going to be taking place. So, John saw a vision of the heavenly throne after, maybe sometime after he saw and recorded the vision of Jesus' word to the churches, okay? Jesus had already given the word to the churches and so forth, so now this is what God is letting him see and acknowledge. So the time sequence is indicated by the expression, and the expression is in Greek. It's meta tata, which means after these things, after these things, okay? So John saw a door. He saw a door open in heaven, and he heard the voice. And the voice he heard, again, if we go back to chapter 1, verse 11, that voice he heard then as well. But this time, he said, he opened up a door, and he got to look directly in heaven. Now, spiritually, not bodily, okay? But he got to hear the voice, and the voice he heard, again, verse 1:11, was the risen Christ in chapter 1, verse 10, and verse 17 through 18. So the voice was like the sound of a trumpet. So it had to be beautiful. It was loud. It got his attention. You know, when you hear the trumpet sound, I mean, in bands or anything, it has a wonderful different tone than any other instrument. And all instruments and horns and all of those things are beautiful, but the Bible uses a trumpet as a symbol of the voice of Christ right here. And heaven refers not to the earth atmosphere or the stars, but to a place that is beyond what I would say man's natural eyes or even telescopes. The greatest telescopes in the world cannot see far enough to see into heaven. Eyes, ears, as Paul says, cannot even imagine what is prepared for those who love the Lord. So we don't have that ability. Man does not have that ability. But heaven may not be as far as we think, but with eyes and the most powerful telescopes or technology in this world cannot, enter in to that scene at this point in time. One of these days, we'll all see what God is preparing for each one of us. Now, the risen Lord of life invites John to come up here. And since only one who has been lifted up to heaven can see what is going to happen there, and John was given that privilege. So the stated reason John is invited up is so that Christ can show him and us. So John, he showed John, and now we are seeing what John saw, because it is written here in clear words for us to behold. So, the stated reason John is invited up is for us to see. So, what must take place after this? Meta tata, tata, same as after these things. Now, which indicates a future that has not yet happened. Okay, going back, chapter 1 through 3, talking about the churches and so forth. But this yet has happened. But the implication is that the prophecies now is to be unfolded will occur after the events of the present age. And we're still in the present age, okay? So therefore, a door opens in heaven, and calling up through that door into heaven, and can indicate to us the manner in which Christ intends to fulfill his promise to keep this, certain saints out of the hour of tribulation. So no one wants to go through the hour or the tribulation, which would be 7 years, 3.5 years of peace, and then the latter will be ultimate chaos. So this is a warning for people who will heed and listen to the words of Christ to accept him, because no one can even imagine. Now, we think the terrible things happen here on earth is bad. It is. The destructions and all of the capabilities that we have here on this earth, like the atomic bombs and things like that, is nothing in comparison of what the tribulation and the end time will involve. So this is a good insight for people, not only Christian, but those who have not accepted Christ, to understand, you know, there is a time coming when we will all face these things that John is talking about. But the key thing, the important thing that John wants us to understand is Christ, our God and Christ sitting there on the throne in power, in majesty, in sovereignty. So, now, it appears as if it is at this time that those who have died will be reunited with their bodies, and those of them who shall be found living at that time. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51-52, and also I didn't include 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where it talks about when Christ comes, it will sound like a trumpet, and those who are in their grave will rise first, and those who are alive or remaining, which would be us, the living, or unless we've already gone to be with the Lord, will be caught up to be with the Lord. But here in First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, it says, shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, if you blink your eyes, it already happened, okay? Yeah, that's when Christ will come. It will be in the twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Christ will not touch the earth, but we will be caught up. Now, this caught up means rapture. Rapture's not in the church, but caught up is mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, next, we see God on the throne in verses 2 and 3, where it says, immediately I was in the Spirit. John stated, immediately I was in the Spirit. Now, for us to understand that, if you can think of the greatest moment in your life when you was touched by the Spirit of God and you knew it was the Lord God speaking to you at a particular time, or something that God was doing in your life, you can imagine what John was saying here. I was in the Spirit. When we come together to worship, we come together to worship in the Spirit. Because John 4:24 said, when we worship God, we will worship him. We are to worship him in what? Spirit and truth. Nothing like being in the Spirit of God. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could be that way continually in our life? But with all the distractions and interruptions in our life, it kind of pulls us away from being focused on what John is saying right here, to be in the Spirit. To be in the Spirit is the best thing for the Christian or any person on this earth can be, to see the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. See him continually and imagining all the glories and sovereignty and the power and authority that he has, and we bow down and we worship him And the Bible says that one of these days, every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow before him. And when we do that, we will be in the spirit of Almighty God, worshiping him. And one of these days, we'll have that privilege to do it the rest of our life. So whatever we do today, we are practicing to what we're going to be doing in heaven one of these days. It's going to be wonderful. I mean, I could stand up here and talk to you from here to tomorrow to the next day, and you will not grasp what John is saying here until we actually behold it. But why not be focused and be ready and expecting all of these great things that we're going to be a part of one of these days? So the book of Revelation can be called, and I would say, a throne book. And that's what it's about. And we talk about the prophecies and the end times and Christ coming about again, but it's letting us know about heaven and things that we're going to be experiencing. Because as I did some checking and cross-referencing and everything, I found that throne is used around 40 times in the book of Revelation. 40 times. Now, something must be important about that throne, or special or specific about it. It is used 12 times in chapter 4. Okay? In chapter 4. Or there we are. And it is used 5 times in chapter 5. So throne, that's why I say throne is the book of Revelation. Okay, now before John can do more than notice the throne, which he never actually describes, he realizes there is one sitting on it. Human language fails at this point. I mean, it's like Paul says, I can't begin to describe what I experienced when he went in up to the third heaven. So he later tells us he is the creator of all things in chapter 4, verse 11. Now, looking at Genesis 9:13, it says, a rainbow, he took something from his throne to use as a sign of his covenant, reminder to those who inhabit the earth. Remember the rainbow? Noah is a promise, it's a covenant. But here, it's a symbolism of the glory of God there in heaven. Now, the green color of emerald added further beauty to the scene, and the circle, emerald green, would highlight the inner throne and keep his radiance from overwhelming the scene and the people outside. See, that's the beauty of it. And it may be represent the mercy which tempers the revelation divinely, his majesty. We see beautiful colors, don't we? Here, I mean, among us today are diamonds and things like that, birthstones. But nothing, I don't think, can compare to what John is describing right here. Now, in conclusion, what we've talked about, seen so far, and I haven't tiptoed through the pages yet, but what a scene in heaven. What a scene, can you imagine? Can you even look, just look at the beautiful colors. That doesn't even, it's not a good example of it, but just give you some colors there of what heaven, all the different emphasis that the Bible gives on the colors. Before the throne is a brilliant temperate sea, the scripture says, separating all other things except some order of angels from the glory of God. And from the throne comes a flashing of lightning, as the scripture just said, voices and resounding thunder. Now, that would get your attention, right? It gets my attention, and I haven't heard it yet. But we've heard thunder, we've seen lightning, and so forth. But this is the majesty of God. It will get your attention. It will humble us. It will humble the earth to see the majesty of our Lord Almighty. And oh, the magnificence of the holiness of God. Now, as I said earlier, verse 1 through 4 gives us a scene in heaven. And verses 5 through 11 gives us insight of the throne and worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we'll see next Sunday. But until then, all these things honor the Lord God Almighty. And then, see, God has invited us to behold, and some of He has invites us to partake in all of this. Put on your robes. Put on your robes, you know. We're going to a celebration one of these days. Already talks about the 24 elders and the white robes and the thrones and so forth, the wards. But this is just a tip of what to expect. Now, I encourage you at some point in time this year to read the book of Revelation. It'll let you know the beauties of heaven and the scene and the worship of our Lord God. It's going to be great. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for the book of Revelation, your whole Bible. And sometimes we don't want to tread the areas we don't understand or seem to be complex. But your Holy Spirit will help open our eyes to the heart that we might see enough that will want us, cause us to say, Lord, teach me more. I want to see more. I want to know more. Faith comes in hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where salvation falls in. It comes in, and we're able to understand why you came to this earth to die for our sin, provide salvation, the atonement for our sin. As John baptized for the remission of sin, the Holy Spirit seals that, and we are sealed, past, present, future. We are a part of your kingdom. Anyone here today or anybody listening live, Lord, you give us that invitation to come. You gave John an invitation to come up here and see what I have prepared for you. And the more we fellowship with you and get in your word and we pray, the closer we become to your throne. Whatever the decisions are this day, Lord, we just pray that your will be done. Open up our eyes to our heart that we might see and respond to your invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.